code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on Friday, the 5th of December, 2008. My beginnings of every talk really come down to the website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, because on that website you'll find, I think it's over 600 hours, maybe more, of talks I've given in the past, over the years, about this big matrix. We live in this big reality. Everything that you think is real has been projected to you, indoctrinated into you through repetition. I show you the methods. I go through various authors who helped the big foundations come up with these plans to create this reality. I go into the creation of culture, the alteration direction of culture, and where the plans are all set up to end up. Or at least that's where you're going to end up, because we follow, never thinking that things are actually directed that way. And last night I read from a book by Bertrand Russell, Lord Bertrand Russell, who was a big an actor, they'd call him today, from the United Nations. They call them actors, people who help direct the big think tanks and foundations, etc., on behalf of the pre-existing elites who've run the world for a long, long time. So on my website you'll find shortcuts to the truth. With the facts enclosed, no spacemen, no shapeshifters, none of that stuff that spooks you out and brings you into what's called the circus in intelligence services, because they created the circus. It's the best way to discredit facts. It's called counterintelligence, and they call it the circus. And thousands of youngsters especially fall into the trap and go round in loops. And when they try to explain what's happening to people around them, they sound like they're absolutely crazy. That's the intention of it, and it works very well. So get the facts, go into the histories, and it's stunning enough to find out that everything that we take for granted in our lives, our entire lives, all the big events, even how the fashion industry is led and why it's led that way, is all connected to create a particular reality which will stop you from thinking outside Plato's cave. Also, look into Alan Watt's Sentinel for documents from these, or transcripts from these talks I've given, which you can download and print up, and they're written in different languages, the languages of Europe. It's very difficult for people who listen often to the bad news, especially when they're just beginning to wake up, to really realize how bad it is. We've all been taught to be happy, think on the bright side. That's been so encouraged for years now that it's hard to look reality in the face. We'd want to believe what the media tells us. We want to believe that things like the economy just suddenly crash for no reason and no one saw it coming, and we all must change our behavior, our way of living, and so on. We want to believe that because the alternative is to start looking into how it's all been directed. And you cannot go down through the history and the articles and publications by the big foundations in particular without concluding that if these guys could write about this agenda 50, 100 years ago, 30, 20 years ago, and every step of their agenda, well, they're very lucky guessers. They must have good crystal balls, because they've never, ever missed a step in this agenda. Last night, from Russell's book from 1931, he talked about how everyone was being standardized then by the same news from all the different media sources. Same news, standardized man. Back with more after this break.
Gold has been and remains money. the most important money in the world. The only immutable and lasting currency. Potentially the most powerful currency.
The United States military, when it packs the emergency kits of its fighter pilots, does not pack them with U.S. dollars or euros or yuan or yen or any of the paper currencies. It packs them with these little things, 100-year-old quarter-ounce British sovereigns, gold coins. Why is that? That's because at all times and in all circumstances, this remains money.
Call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix. I was thinking earlier that the average person truly has no idea of how this world is really run and how it's always been run by the few using their little minions beneath them, drawn out of the general public from all walks of life and especially in the uniformed areas to do their biddings for them, and how it's never really changed. But I'm going to read an article in a minute to show you how some things work through interconnectedness. Because everything in this system, this pyramid that runs us, remember the pyramid sits in a wasteland, and the wasteland happens to be the general population at the bottom. That's the sparse grass growing up right above the base of the pyramid. That's how they always show it on their drawings. And of course, the illumined ones are at the top. They're above. They're above all the rest that hold up the base, that the workers that hold up the base, all the institutions and the authorities that run the profane down below in the grassland down there. And the ones above the light, of course, are the small group that get to be the capstone. They have Lucifer. In other words, they have an intelligence, according to themselves. And they also have reason, which those down below don't really have. Even a lot of their helpers don't have reason. You see, these characters truly believe that they are the only ones who can have rationality in any particular area, and they can study any subject passively and come to the proper decisions for all the rest. You know, in ancient Christian drawings, he often saw the ascension of Jesus or the cross growing up with Jesus. He was on the cross and going up into heaven. But he also saw the serpent wrapped around the cross. That was pretty traditional a long time ago. And what it stood for was the compassionate man, and the opposite, because in duality, and in all religions you have a duality, the serpent stood for blatant, absolute, perfect reason, no compassion. So the unification of the two was completion and perfection, as they say. It's all part of the old mystery religions, which still run the world today. But when we get stories given to us that should horrify us, we're not horrified anymore, because again, we have truly been desensitized to all kinds of horror. Things which have turned people's stomachs 50, 60 years ago, we don't even blink at anymore. We hear the prattle on about democracy, and I explained in that book last night from Bertrand Russell what he really thought of democracy and what it was. It was there to serve the elite, and that was the function of all the society down beneath the elite, was to serve society. That was their only purpose. And yet, if you or I or anyone else was to kill someone in public, and even if we said that we're sorry, I killed the wrong guy, it wouldn't make any difference. You'd be punished because you killed someone. Well, in 2005, I think it was a Brazilian, was killed in London by the security forces who followed him and ran after him. They chased him. I think the guy started running when people with guns start to approach him and eyeball him, and I think most folk would do the same. I think he was an electrician as well. And eventually they got him in an area, and they got him down, and then they shot him in the head a few times, just to make sure, mind you. And they have inquiries in the Commonwealth countries into police or security force shootings. And these inquiries are always called impartial inquiries, but they're headed by generally ex-policemen themselves, or Scotland Yard, or whatever it happens to be. Here's what happened: an inquiry about the shooting, the wrongful shooting of this particular man called Mendes. Thursday, 2nd of October 2008, from AOL. And it says here, Menzies' operation commander praised. The senior policewoman in charge of the operation that led to the shooting of Jeans Charles de Menezes was outstanding that day. So the person in charge of the operation that led to the shooting, this guy, was outstanding that day. An inquest has heard. Commander Cressida Dick was a designated senior officer on July 22, 2005, under the Metropolitan Police's Operation Kratos, interesting name policy, for dealing with suspected suicide bombers. And before going to the rest of this, I'll just mention that anyone in her capacity at that level is part of intelligence. She's not just part of the Metropolitan Police Force Operation Department. That's intelligence sections. That's number one. Says she was the best choice to lead the control room overseeing the pursuit of Mr. Demenzes amid fears he could be a terrorist, Hussein Osman, the inquest into the innocent Brazilian's death was told. The innocent Brazilian's death, right, was told. Detective Chief Superintendent John Butcher, interesting name, he's well named for his role, her senior officer at the time said he agreed with all her decisions and praised her calm and sensible head. Well, at least she walked away with her still on. He told the hearing, Commander Dick was outstanding that day. I think we were extremely fortunate to have her as designated senior officer. I think perhaps one of two or three of the best choices we had available in the Met, Metropolitan, in my view, the best. Her performance that day was exemplary. Mr. Butcher, who was in charge of the manhunt for the failed suicide bombings behind the July 22nd, 2005 5 attacks on London, said he took full responsibility for all Commander Dick's decisions. So they're telling you that this intelligence officer who works in the Metro Police Department has massive protection because she's important. You see? And then he says, I am the senior investigating officer, and not only do I stand... Now, see, this guy had the same position as she did. He says, I am the senior investigating officer. So they're investigating themselves. And not only do I stand by Commander Dick's decision, she's a commander. You see, you should look into the term commander and who gets to use that term in Britain, like Commander James Bond. I actually believe this was my operation, he said. I put that structure in place, and I am responsible for the operation July 21st. He added, I have reflected on the day because of the tragic offence of Mr. de Menzies' death, and I don't think there's anybody that I would have selected to be part of that structure that wasn't there. On Wednesday, Mr. Butcher told the inquest he believed no mistakes were made during the operation that led to the shooting of the Brazilian. He said, I cannot see anything we could have done that would have changed the course of the tragedy of Mr. de Menzies. That's awfully comforting, isn't it? But you see, what I'm trying to say here is we read these articles without thinking. Now, there's a big organization came out in Britain a few years ago, out of nowhere, with the same MO as the Royal Institute of International Affairs. They call it the Chatham House Society. Different terms for the same thing. Chatham House, as I said before, was the OSS headquarters for intelligence in World War II. Why was that? It's because it already was an intelligence service for the elite. And it has rules about what it can say to the public and what its members cannot say to the public. They're actually given certain things that they can openly say to the public. And when you look into an organization called Common Purpose in Britain that's heavily funded out of nowhere, that's recruiting people in uniform, in the military, right up the ranks, in police, right up their ranks, and so on, and they're actually getting grants from the government as well, then you know it's part of this official, unofficial intelligence service. And why do I bring this article into it? It's because, you see, Commander Dick is a high chutzpah in the Common Purpose group. Very important person. And when the very important people do anything wrong or kill people, it will never go down the record as being wrong. Never. So innocent people can get slaughtered in the streets. And everybody with spaghetti on the cap. Spaghetti is the term they use for all that yellow, goldish trim on the skip of their helmets that they wear when they're the officers. Anyone with spaghetti, you see, will have their rear end covered, and they'll make sure that Ms. Dick is covered too. And I'm showing you how they're all interrelated. All those that shape opinion and force opinion, by the way, as well, on media, and have no problem getting access to media and even ideas into education as to what should be taught. Every field of activity. Intelligence service operatives today can wear a uniform one day, plain clothes the next, and be working for their other foundations the next, and then back to uniform again. Interchangeable. This is the real joke about shifters. You see, they keep changing their roles and their dresses. That's all it is. That's all it is. Nothing about weird DNA from millions of years ago from the Anunnaki, stuff like that. That's what it's about. But they're all interrelated, as I say. So some poor, innocent guy gets killed, and they say he's innocent, but the operation was a success. How's that for getting off with it when you're the right kind of peer person with the right kind of backing? I'll be back with more after this break.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth. 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, trying to get some reality. And it takes a lot of doing because we've all had such intense indoctrination into alternate reality, the one that was planned for us to believe in. So I do my best to cut through the nonsense. And before going to callers, I should mention that I was going to talk about eugenics tonight, because behind it all is deletes. Obsession, not only a recent obsession, but it's been done through the ages, about, you know, the peasant class and the common class overtaking the better type at the top and using up their resources for the future, for their offspring, who have the right to live according to the Darwinian laws. They're superior, you see. I had to laugh and chuckle when Huxley and others mentioned that if people, even with glasses, reading glasses, for instance, or they were short-sighted or long-sighted, if they were allowed to reproduce, my God, in 100, 200 years, everybody would need glasses. In other words, he said, because you see, in previous times when we're all hunting in the forest and dragging our knuckles around with clubs and all that, if you had good eyesight, you were a better hunter, so your chances of success and survival were better than those who had poor eyesight, so the poor eyesight guys would starve to death. And these are the kind of rationales they give you for their eugenics plan. It's you have to laugh or you'd cry. Really. And here's the latest thing. I went through all the foundations today, just for a glance at them. And I looked at the Galton Foundation, the Galton one, sorry. It's Galton. the Galtons intermarried with the Darwins, and they all have foundations, all working together to the same ends. And they changed their name from the Eugenics Society to Genetic Research Society, to something else. Now they're called bioethics societies. But they're the experts who guide us, bioethics. They bring them on television to tell us that they're in charge of the ethics of everything to do with the genetics and the agenda. And we think they're nice people. They're all eugenicists. In their own newsletter, some of their members regretted that they changed their name from the Eugenics Society to camouflage themselves. And here's some more garbage they've come up with from the BBC News. 5th of December 2008, intelligent men have better sperm. Now, I've done a whole series of talks on what they've done to the people with the artificial estrogen content in their food and so on. It's been there since the 1930s, but mainly from the 50s onwards. I've read articles about how they'd have to find ways to make men infertile and alter them. Literally alter them, make them more effeminate. That's all happened. It's happened in my lifetime. And the guys who were talking about it at the time, like Galton Darwin, Charles Galton Darwin, who published his own book on it, on behalf of the elite, how to do it and how to introduce it into society to make the men infertile. I've read all the different things. So here they are again, at it again, you see. Men of higher intelligence tend to produce better quality sperm, UK research suggests. A team from the Institute of Psychiatry go into the history of psychiatry and look what it's based upon. When Darwin's theories came out, they led to different belief systems, really. Survival of the fittest, etc., being at the top of the list. And out of that came various other institutions, including psychiatry. Everything suddenly must be based on your hereditary characteristics, they thought. And that's where the idea of the poverty gene came up, and all the eugenicists jumped on it. So psychiatry is based on flawed genes. Perfectly what they would class as normal, which would be a good psychopath, you'd be up there with your own tower in New York, you see, after having lied and stolen and cheated and used everyone around you to get up there, and that'd be normal, you'd be successful. Or you wouldn't be, you'd have a poverty gene if you didn't make it. So the Institute of Psychiatry, and remember the same Institute of Psychiatry funded a book. It's called The Human Agenda. I should read it. They talk about creating hermaphrodites in it. The same institution. For peace, you understand, world peace. She's analyzed data from former U.S. soldiers who served during the Vietnam War era. They found that those who performed better on intelligence tests tended to have more and more mobile sperm. Meaning that the ones who didn't perform so well on the... And again, you know who designed that intelligence test? It was Galton. Galton is a guy, and it is even admitted in the history books, he fudged all the figures and so on to try and bolster his theories of superior types and inferior types. And in other words, if you fail your intelligence test or you're a bit poor on it, your sperm are too stupid to know where to go. Huh? Meanwhile, I've read all the articles on infertility. I've told you about the CBC broadcast on it, the disappearing male, the video. I've got a link on my website where you can go and see it. And it was all done or due to bisphenol A and phthalates and various other things which are artificial estrogens which literally destroy the male's ability, not just the sperm itself, but their ability to produce it and alters them physically as well. But here they're claiming it's all to do with your IQ. It's your IQ is at fault. And that's why the sperm doesn't, they don't know where to go. There's no guide, you see. The study, which appears in the journal Intelligence, see, it's a journal called Intelligence. It's all Darwinistic eugenics. Appears to support the idea that genes underlying intelligence may have other biological effects, too. And I'll be back with more after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi folks, Alan Watt here, cutting through the matrix. And just to finish off with that article, just to mention that I'm sure this article here came out in response to the findings, the factual, empirical findings by testing that have been published recently to do with what's causing infertility amongst men. They never give up, though, do they? It's your fault if your sperm don't know where to go. It's because you're stupid. You haven't evolved enough, you see. You're a vestige left over from a previous type of human and all that nonsense. But this stuff is preached to the top. Remember, repetition, as Bertrand Russell said, is so important. It doesn't matter what they're telling you, as long as you start to repeat it after 8 times or 10 times of hearing it, because you'll start to believe it, you see. And he said himself, there's no nonsense so arrant that cannot be made the creed, the belief of the vast majority by adequate government action. They never give up, do they? No matter what evidence comes up to the contrary, they'll tell you that the moon is made of green cheese. And unfortunately, a lot of people believe it. Well, we'll go to the phones now. We've got Keith from Dallas there. Are you there, Keith?
Good evening, Dr. Keith. White. How you doing?
Not so bad. I'm hanging in here.
Good. Again, great show, Dr. White. And I just wanted to tell everyone that's listening, please donate to Dr. White so he doesn't have to go. We all love him. And if everyone just donated $5, it would be great. Okay. Dr. White, I wanted to make a couple of comments. I always wondered, like, where were the people, the 30 to 40 and the 50-year-olds in 1961 when Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex taking over, and also the same year, JFK speaking out against secret societies. And mm-hmm. so I wonder what, you know, why now, nowadays it seems like when you put two and two together, you come out with three.
Yeah.
So, but, and, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
The problem is, though, that that book I read from last night was a precursor to one written about 20 years later by the same author, Bertrand Russell, and he said already in the 1930s that they had control over the people's minds because it already made sure that all news was given, all the same news was given to the same media across the world at the same time by the 30s. So even when you get a bit of truth coming out, we're not taught how to place it. We can't reason anymore how to place this strange piece that leaks out to the public. It doesn't fit in with all the other stuff that you're given. And people tend to simply dismiss it. Yeah.
Lord Russell, you know, that book, Impact of Science and Society and Education and the Good Life, he has stones as big as Jupiter. Because I'm just floored by the things that he says. And mm-hmm. when you talk to people today about the certain things that he says, it just goes through their mind like a 7.62 millimeter round. I mean, just no, it doesn't juggle around in there at all. Just straight mm-hmm. through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you not hear what I just said to you? You know, and it's so tasking to talk to people
about that's all just this. It. You see, again, that's what Brzezinski said. See, there's other techniques being used as well. And we have had chemical warfare on us through the food for a long time, and it has dropped the IQ. That was part of the purpose that Charles Galton Darwin talked about, not only to make them infertile, but to drop the IQ level so that they couldn't literally figure things out. And then we have Brzezinski in his technotronic era talking about, in the chapter Between Two Ages, he mentions the fact that a technique is sure to be used on the public, which will influence all of their opinions and so on, and they will have no idea where it's coming from. He was still talking about the HARP-type technology that they'd use by setting up antennas, etc., through all suburban-type areas. They're going up. I have photographs of them. It's quite amazing what they're putting up. These new transmitters are just long poles with almost like microphone socks on the end, if you know what they look like. And they have their own transformers, and they're not claimed by any company. They just have high voltage on them. So this is what Brzezinski was talking about, the technotronic warfare that would control their minds.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking about the big, gigantic towers. They're, like, way taller than regular phone towers.
No, these ones aren't so tall. In fact, they're only about 50, 60 feet high. But so they're scattering them across Canada and Europe, and I have photographs sent from different countries of the same thing, yeah.
You mean like on that movie They Live, where they basically, you know, sleep, you know, the little
thing? Pretty well. And that's that's actually in the literature on the HARP technology. That's HAARP. And in the weather warfare treaty of the United Nations, that it can be used by carrying a secondary signal to influence the behavior and even the minds of people. And a vast, even in a whole, across a whole continent, if necessary. This is part of the tranquilizing methods that's been mentioned, even to use in anti-terrorism to tranquilize the public. So they talk about combinations of chemicals if need be. They can spray them over the public in panic times, or they can also use these signals. And they have been tested out on the general population. They do work. And now they're putting up the darn things in preparation for what's coming. Yeah.
I have one question for you, Dr. Webb, please. In the Bible, which when it goes into Jesus standing up to the money, to the bankers in the temple, is that more of the, you know, mock the victim? Because, you know, we know the banks doubled as the temples in ancient mm-hmm. times, so why would they slip that in there?
I think we know for a fact there was someone at that time who did definitely, in fact, in Jewish records, they have different people who led rebellions. But we do know that someone of significance did stand up in a different fashion because it's in the Talmud. It's a Jewish record. And they had his name down too as a Jesus, I believe. And he stood up against the banking system, which the regular Pharisees did not, because they were part of the banking system. You could not take foreign currency into the temple, so you had to exchange it at the door for the holy currency. And it was a big markup, of course, for those who ran that system. But that was the same in all countries in ancient time. The Phoenicians really set up the first system of that across their empire. And so what you find is that someone did stand up and say you couldn't bring money and commerce and profit into any relationship with a god. And he was, I wouldn't say it was a mistake to do it. He did the right thing, and we know what happened.
In this instance, there's a huge church here called the Potter's House, and interesting name for a church. And there's ATMs all throughout this huge church.
Yeah.
There's like 20,000 members, and there's ATMs everywhere. I mean, you know, so in case whenever it's time to make your many donations.
Yes.
Anyway, Dr. Watt, it's been great talking to you again.
Will you hang in there too?
Thank you, sir.
Bye now. But yeah, I mean, even in Rome. And in Greece, the temple, it's always the goddess. And for Rome, it was, I think, Diana. That's where they minted, in her temple, they minted the coin for the realm. Now we'll go to, we've got the culture creator in South America. Are you there?
Hello, Alan. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm okay. Got a little surprise the other day. I didn't even realize that someone had taken and recorded the conversation that we had the last time, and I ended up putting it up on YouTube and under, I believe, Freemasons Take Over Hip Hop or something of that nature. It was quite interesting because I ended up just going through one of the sites that I normally browse through, and I clicked on the title and I said, this is interesting, and ended up hearing myself. So that was a bit of a surprise.
Yes, there you go.
Hopefully some people, you know, even though there was one point that was a number of points that were made on this particular blog about it, there was a part that I had to stand corrected on where the artist did not say he was so enlightened, I'm sorry, so illuminated he could glow in the dark, but he said he was so enlightened that he could glow in the dark, and basically meaning the same thing. I just used
different terminology.
The improper word. Yeah. I wanted to call on something else, something completely different, basically what you were speaking about already. I sent you an email recently about a book by the name of O Presidente Negro, which I speak Spanish and Portuguese living down here in South America. And the actual translation of the book is The Black President. And the subtitle is Or the Clash of Races. It's by a gentleman by the name of Montero Lobato. And it's quite interesting because he wrote this book in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
And since Obama got in office, it had been, you know, coming out all across that, you know, hey, this guy was prophetic and so on and so forth. But the more that I... You know, after I heard about this, I decided to look into it a little bit. And it's interesting because he said this gentleman would win in 2,228 and that he would be the 88th president. Now, you know, if you go and know a little bit about numerology, there's two twos in the middle there that you can take out and you'll have 2008. And you can divide those two twos into the 88 and end up being 44, which is pretty much what the number that Obama is. But nonetheless, it was interesting because in this book, written in 1926, he was up against a woman and a white male.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally falls right in line with what actually happened in terms of the race and everything. But what was interesting, this book that this gentleman wrote, and he ended up being a big writer of children's books. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that in the country of Brazil? And a very, very famous gentleman. I found out that the city that he is actually from is called Tabuate, and it has six Masonic lodges, one which is now named after this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual city that he's from that is named after him is not too far from where he was born. And in the midst of all this, in this particular book, he also spoke about eugenics.
Yeah.
And how a race war and race wars would be started as a result of this president coming into office. Now, you know, down in South America, there are old bookstores that you can go and you can find. As a matter of fact, I've found many books that you have recommended, everything from, you know, The Third Wave to Plato's Republic and things. I mean, I found them for, you know, 50 cents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up going and getting this book, and because I can read in Portuguese, it was quite interesting that I was able to see what this gentleman was talking about many, many years ago. And in the email that I sent to you, I was basically making some points about how the world is planned. And you made a statement one day that you were even under the – had the thought that Obama could have been, or maybe, completely groomed, even from birth.
Oh, yeah.
Even the and
– Oh, the father picked and everything. I mean, it goes further than that. You have to go, if you go into the mother's history, you'll be absolutely astonished at – I wouldn't say a dedication, it was an obsession to breed, definitely with a black man. And and you have to look at the religion that she was born into, because they literally bred a lot of world revolutionaries. So they did this kind of thing on purpose. And you can tie a lot into this, into the 1800s and many of the societies that Freemasonry had started up to do with eugenics back then, like the Oneida community, and think they were literally creating children, superior children, they believed, by selecting who could mate with who could not mate with who in the communities, and so on and so on. So they were at it in a big, big way in the U.S. Back then. And out of that spawned when they broke up the society. And by the way, they were allowed to have pedophilia in that society. So the young men who were just going into puberty were groomed in all the techniques of sex by women who were menopausal, couldn't conceive.
Right.
And the
right.
state itself was giving them special protection against, because they were breaking every law in the book, basically. So you have to understand, this is old. But once they changed into different sects, you'd be surprised at the different sects, and that's where you must trace his mother to.
Yeah, and I've when you speak about that and the time and how long ago this was, and thinking in terms of how the world is planned and how on average people are just taught to think, what are you going to do in the next 5 years?
Yeah.
And in the last call that I had with you, I said something at the end where, you know, I received an invitation to come in to a particular society. And one of the last things the gentleman mentioned to me was, he said, and we want your son.
Yes. Yes. And, that's right.
And I said, huh? You want my son? He says, yeah, and we want 25 years of service. And so these numbers are very important.
See, the Holy Trinity of Freemasonry is grandfather, father, son.
Son, exactly.
And because the two, it's all to do with eugenics, because they supply the wives.
Right, right. And this was something that I would mention, I didn't mention before, Alan, when I was 12. My father was a Mason. And, you know, the only thing, you know, that he ever taught me about was that. I was one of the people who, I believe, fought within myself, because it made no sense to me why I would choose to be, in many cases, humiliated.
Yeah.
For the sake of the divine right, or to be able to be in the good graces. And I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and I said, why would I want to put someone else in charge of my life? Why would I want to let my destiny be controlled by someone else, especially someone I don't know, a religion that is so ancient that only God really knows what in the world is really going on behind it? And I said, I'd rather stand on my own feet, even if it means I struggle and make my way through, than to be on my knees and to have everything go my way, to have every door open. I refuse to do that. It's just a point of integrity. And maybe my father didn't have that.
You have to be quick now because you're taking up several callers here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did that last time someone else told me. So, well, that's really all.
But I know what you mean, though. And absolutely. And, of course, every Mason takes an oath to blindly obey any order given by the superior and reserve all moral judgment and carry out that order. That's a fact. Because they're well paid and they get tips to do it.
Yeah. But
thanks for calling. Now we've got Keith in Indiana. Are you there, Keith?
Hello, Alan.
Hello. Yes.
I talked to you briefly once before.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Do you believe that God preserved His word onto this day, that we can find the truth?
I think that everyone has a chance to find the truth if they truly want it. And I'll be back with more after this break.
Can the United States of America survive a total breakdown? Disarmed, prostrate before an unfriendly third world, and overwhelmed by politically correct domestic tyranny, does the spirit of 1776 still live in American hearts? Was 9/11 a wake-up call, a Pearl Harbor for America, or was it Western civilization's Appomattox to Islamo-fascism? These questions and more are answered in Pandemonium in 2012, the new book by Lee Cross.
This is Lee Cross, American. Paul Revere's words still ring true. The Redcoats are coming. But today they swapped their red coats for ACLU law books and Islamic terrorist bombs. Read how to stop them. Buy my new book.
Fiction or prophecy, you decide. After you buy and read the new book by Lee Cross, Pandemonium in 2012. Published by Virginia City Publishing. Available to order through most bookstores or Amazon.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hi, folks. Sam Alan Watts, cutting through the matrix, and we'll go to Joe in Florida. Hey there, Joe.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
I was with a friend at a coffee shop today, and we were having a discussion. I wanted to put a couple things by you. One is, what do you think about the old biblical term, the Jubilee, the forgiveness of debts every 50 years? And the fact that, you know, we are supposedly somewhat of a Christian nation, which is supposedly against usury. And it just seems like that's a term that's forgotten by all these evangelical Christians and the modern day Christians. And they've really done a great job in You know, I mean, if we're going to be a Christian nation, we shouldn't just take all the turn the other cheek stuff and not get the good stuff like the Jubilee and the debt forgiveness.
But the problem is even interest and usury was accepted by the Catholic Church early on too, as long as they weren't the guys collecting the money. They'd take all the money that would come in their way, but they weren't the ones managing it. But eventually they went into banking themselves in a big way, and had commerce going. In fact, the Jesuits had ships going to Japan before anybody else did, commercial ships. And they were running big business. And the Protestant ideology, when it came along, was based on a so-called progressive industrial society with thriftiness and hard work and saving your money and all that stuff. So, unfortunately, this whole idea was wiped out a long time ago about forgiveness of debt and so on. Even the scam they pull for the United Nations for forgiveness of debt of third world countries is done on behalf of the big banks, because then the people who are put down as the guarantors, that's the citizens of the U.S., Canada, and so on, still have to cough up that money. They just don't make the ones who borrowed it pay up, who can't do it anyway. So they keep these perpetual scams going with debt, and you're quite right. So you cannot have a just society with a monetary system and profits and poverty in the one end and the fear of poverty that the rest of them see and of the carrot stick of getting to the top. That means that only the psychopaths will get to the top in this system, and that is actually what has happened.
Well, one of the things we were discussing is how in the Lord's Prayer, how, you know, 100 years ago, and they used to use the term "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors,"
yeah.
And it's turned into "forgive us our trespass as
yeah.
we forgive those who." And I'm like, that's interesting that they would change that in the Lutheran and in the Anglican book of prayer. Just around in the 1928, I think it was the Anglicans, in the 1950s with the Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like a way that they've conditioned Christians to go along with the debt system. I don't know, maybe that's paranoia, but it's
Oh, no, I'm sure it is, because every alteration in the Bible down through the centuries has always been done for political reasons by the elite themselves. You're quite right, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to spring it by you, and I'm glad to hear your comments, and thank you for all you're doing.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, that is true. And as I say, you go back to Bertrand Russell's book that I quote from last night. He goes into a lot of this kind of stuff and how everything that's given to the public is managed and put out there by the elite to serve the elite. And for new times, when they brought in a new system or a new part of their system, a new direction of their system, upgrading, I call it, they alter biblical books, not just in Christianity, but in other religions across the world as well. And they also create the new religion of earth worship and mix it with Baha'i, etc., for the greening of the planet, which is going to be the worst tyranny we've ever seen. Well, from Hamish and myself in Ontario, Canada, where it's about 2 feet of snow, so far where I am, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.
Can't decide.